This was a message I had prepared for the conference, and the Lord decided to have mercy on them. But Sunday night crowd, you know, you don't come for a milkshake, right? So can you tell the messages that we're right on the precipice of the revival? See now, and he keeps talking about dealing with our flesh and giving us more and more instruction about that and whatever strongholds remain. Because, now listen, the purging time is before the revival breaks out. Deal with it now, because once you're in the thick of it, that's when the devil is going to sniff around looking for handles. And how many revivals have we seen get stopped, discredited, you know, some kind of disgrace of one kind or another? Once you're in it is not the time to be trying to purge, although we're always trying to purge. You know, mortify the flesh is what I'm talking about. He's after us to do it now. So that, anyway, so let's start here. Go to Numbers 33. We'll start there. And just the title of tonight's message, unless I already have one by this title, is going to become going to be called Overcome the Flesh. Just overcome it. And he's given us the power to overcome it. And he's given us the tools to overcome it. Again, I'm going to make a little commercial for that message I did Thursday during the conference. It's pretty long. It's an hour and 43 minutes. We'll see if you're serious or not. But the title of it is God Will Never Override Your Free Will. The subtitle should have been, could be, What is a Renewed Mind? See, because it's only as you really renew your mind that you're going to bring your body into subjection to the spirit that's on the inside of you. Knowledge alone won't do it. Your will is going to be involved. And that's a renewed mind. Okay, so I recommend that one to you from the conference. Now, Numbers 33:55 is a verse I'm after, but let's get a little context. Look at verse 50. The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures. Now get this. Even before I read this, the promised land is the abundant life. This is what Jesus came for all of us to have. The problem is, in your spirit, you're fine. You're born again. You're in the image of God. But in the soul arena, in the realm of the intellect, the memories and emotions, very often there are strongholds of various kinds that prevent you from enjoying or possessing all of the promised land. Okay? And these take all, they're always some form of what the Bible calls the flesh. We talked about that a little bit this morning from Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, those are pretty easy. But then it gets down into envy, jealousy, variance, and things like that. So it's not just the flesh skin. It's not just flesh. But it's every part of the unrenewed mind where there are still strongholds that are keeping you bound. And God wants us to kill every stronghold. Now, this is the imagery of that. Now, notice when he talks about this, he says, I want you to destroy all their pictures. Well, what's that a type of? Quit focusing on the pictures you focused on in the past. It's time for those pictures to come down and new pictures to go up. Forgetting those things that are behind, let's press toward the mark. But all of these things, he says, destroy all their molten images. Well, that's idols. One way you can tell if you've got an idol in your life, stop it and see if you have withdrawals. If there's withdrawals, maybe it's become an idol. Something that you're, anyway, that's pretty evident. And quite, that means completely pluck down all their high places. Now get this, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by a lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance, to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. according to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. Now, if we had time, we could do a seminar on that verse with Alan's message right now about the body. He's talking about there's all different sizes. There's different sizes of the tribes. You have a different part. You know, parts of the land were good for farming. Parts of the land were good for mining. Parts of the land were good for olive groves. There's different functions. We could teach a whole seminar on that from that verse right there. There's one, you could say there's one Israel in many parts. Well, the type is Christ. There's one body with many particular members. Amen? Okay, but that's not tonight's message. This is tonight's message, verse 55. But if you shall not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that, boy, if you underline, those which you let remain. I can't stop. Yeah, you can. No, I can't. I can't quit that. Yes, you can. Well, why are they remaining? Because you're letting them. That's a hard message. But it's the truth of the gospel anyway. Say, well, I don't want to go to war with that. I kind of like that habit. It could be anything from a pickup. You've heard my deal about the pickup, you know, not letting that go. To, you just name it, any smoking, gossip. If you don't deal with them, see, any of them that you let remain. Isn't that how you worded it even then? Any of them that you let remain, they're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. Now, a thorn in your side is bad enough. I've had those walking through the woods. You get a thorn. But a prick, I want to demonstrate a prick in the eye. Helena, you want to be the first one to... I brought my pocket knife. Come here. Come here, baby. Prick. Yeah, goodness sake. You know, take a number two pencil. Come here. Is that bad or what? See, and eventually that's going to cause you real problems. Real problems. You can't function with a prick in your eye. Now, and it's going to take you down. Worse than that, let's go a little, you know... The nice part of me wants to ignore the next verse. But they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. How serious is that? And notice the instruction here is before they've crossed over to take the land. He's given them this instruction. Later on, Joshua, after they have, I don't have time to get into that one, but in the book of Joshua near the end, they've conquered big parts of the land. They've conquered big parts, but there's still a lot of parts that are not conquered. And he almost quotes verbatim the same thing from Moses. He says, you better deal with the rest of those ites. Remember the image I had this morning of the campfire and the gallon of gasoline. You pour the gasoline. See, that's, for me, let's just take the love of money. Okay? Because that's one of them with me. I had a big campfire, the love of money. Well, man, you take money and pour it on the love of money. Whoosh. You know? But I knew I had made progress. Over the years, I knew that the love of money was greatly diminished. And I was kind of patting myself on the back one day. And then I saw another image. And it was a little bitty candle, like a birthday candle. But it was lit, a little flame there. Same gallon can of gasoline poured on that flame. Same exact result. And he said to me, I said, mortify. Put it to death. Same thing here in the type and shadow. You got that? Now, go ahead and be turning to John 14. John 14. And while you're turning there, we're going to jump over one for time's sake. See, Luke 4, where Jesus was confronted with the devil in the wilderness, that's the first time that the devil comes sniffing around Jesus looking for handles. He's trying to take him out. He took out the first man, Adam, with temptation. By the way, the first one was a temptation of something to eat. And the last time around, it was temptation of something to eat. Don't you find that interesting? Turn these stones into bread. Don't you find that interesting? You know? And we don't think fasting has anything to do with it. Yeah, it does have something to do with it, too. But anyway, he's sniffing around looking for handles. Well, maybe this. And Jesus, no, it is written. It is written. All right, well, you like the Word of God, do you? I'll quote the Word of God to you. Why don't you jump off the pinnacle? Because the angels, they'll take charge and they'll keep you from dying. Well, that's a total misinterpretation of Scripture. And Jesus didn't fall for that either. But then that third one, see, he says, if you'll bow down and worship me, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world, which really had been delivered over to Satan by the first man, Adam. Now, the earth and all that's in it belongs to God. But he's talking about this world system. And Paul plainly says Satan is the god, little g, of this world. Got that? Well, to save the world is why Jesus came. And here Satan is going, hey, I've got a shortcut for you. You don't have to go through everything that you think you have to go. Just bow down and worship me, and you can have it all. What's he doing? Can I say sniffing for handles? He's trying to find something that he can control Jesus with. And thank God Jesus was, he not only is the Word, he was full of the Word of God. That when you're under attack, that's not the time to be going, just a minute, I'll be back later. I'm going to go find me some healing confessions. No. Get them ahead of time. The Word become flesh. I think we did that a week or two ago. So that's the first time. But now look, even right before the cross, John 14, we're hours away from the cross here. Jesus is about to be arrested and scourged and mocked and beaten and all of the things that's about to happen to him. But look at verse 30. Right before the cross, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you. Now notice, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Well, let's think a minute. What if he did? What if Jesus had some kind of handle in the soul? See, because normally what happens as people approach revival and the power of God really starts flowing through them, if they've not been purged from, let's say, the love of money, sometimes that'll take them out. If they've not been purged from sexual idolatries, sometimes that'll take them out. What usually takes them out is the God syndrome, the lust of other things. You know, I am Elijah to come. My mouth, I have the only mouth ever created that can properly say Yahweh. That actually happened, you know. I don't want to get into that. The devil is going to come sniffing, looking for handles. The time to overcome the flesh for us is now. And I thank God, there's not a person here that you, if you had the microphone, you could say, boy, when I started here, I had this and I had this and I had that. And thank God for all of the ites that have already fallen. I have Jerichos and AIs behind me that we could talk about. I'm getting some witnesses here. You do too. But he's talking about, that had better take an inventory. Have you left any ites in the land? Some people are really honest. Me too. Yeah, there's some ites to deal with. He's going, you better deal with them now. Because once you're in revival, you're not going to really have time then. It's Katie barred the door. You know how Dave would say, you better appreciate that chair you're sitting in now. Better appreciate the fact you get to go home and sleep in your own bed right now. Because when revival really breaks out, I mean real revival, it's going to be 24/7. There's going to be shift after shift. They're going to be bringing them in and they'll be walking out. You'll be begging for a little cot over in the corner to catch a half hour nap. Just anything, right? So the time to do it is now. So, okay, we're doing pretty good. So you can see that's what he's dealing with is currently. Overcome the flesh. Now let's just look at a few difficult verses. You can turn to these. Start in Matthew 7:23. One of the most scariest verses in all the Bible. I'm going to read a little bit around it. Did you hear what Alan said this morning? Just one sentence. He said, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but he said that radical grace message. He said, for some, they'll be okay, but others, it's going to take them right to hell. And that caught my attention, and I've been kind of having that up before the Lord the rest of the day. You know, it really has to do with the Romans 1 or the Romans 7 people. See, the Romans 1 people had the knowledge of God, but they wanted to live their own lifestyle anyway. It didn't matter that they had the knowledge of God. They did not want to hold God in their remembrance, and they were dogged, determined. Well, wouldn't they be looking for a gospel that says you can live any way you want and God's grace covers it all? See, wouldn't they be looking for that? Those are the people that are going to wind up in hell. And how do you say that? Well, Matthew 7:23. And let me get some verses around it. Verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, say many. I'm picking up habits from these younger guys. Many, see, not a few. Many, many will say to me in that day, they think they're okay. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? In other words, they were busy in religion. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's scary enough, isn't it? Isn't that scary? Team that up with 2 Timothy 2:19, which says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Now, that seal is like a seal of a king. They put the hot wax on the document, and boy, once that seal is on there, you don't change it. That's the image. It has this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This false gospel that's being promoted around the world says God's grace covers your iniquity. Whether you stop or whether you don't. And if they're Romans 1 people looking for any way to continue in the lifestyle they want, they're going to wind up in hell. Because God's grace does not cover that either. The grace of God tells us to deny ungodliness. Isn't that right? The grace of God which brings salvation. I'm getting too many. Y'all know that verse, right? Titus. Let me read it again. Let me just quote it. I didn't have it in my notes here, but it's, I know I've got it marked. Yeah. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Now this is the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation. How many wants any other kind? Nobody wants any other kind, right? I only want the grace of God that brings salvation. Okay? Well, it's appeared to all men. It's not a secret. Teaching us. Well, what does it teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Say, deny. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Isn't that Romans 12? That you present your bodies holy, acceptable unto Him? Told you, not a milkshake. Now, when I was meditating on all of this, I told you this part once before, where He says there, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. One time while I was meditating and praying, the Holy Ghost spoke up and said it this way. You will depart from iniquity, or you will depart from me. You cannot cling to both. I want to deal with my ites. I don't want to deal with them. And get rid of all of them, just like it says, put them all to death. And not put it off till another phrase that He gave me during the conference that I didn't really deliver. I'm not sure it was for the conference. He said, it's time to repent of not repenting. What he means is quit putting it off. The time is now. We're about to enter revival. And anything, any ite that remains, any handle that remains, He's coming. The enemy's going to come. And if you're destroyable, you will be destroyed. He gives me all the shouting messages. Now again, we're going to run out of time. Let me just give you a few more verses for your arsenal. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 2. You notice where it says the grace of God says deny? That means that the flesh is going to want something, and you got to deny it. There's a war going on here. No. The godly, no. Okay? Now, 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. There may be withdrawals. It may be something that you've liked and loved and petted and had your whole life, and God says it's a night and it's got to go. Well, it's not easy. The flesh wars over some of that stuff. I've told you about some of the struggles, you know. But that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Okay? Hebrews 12:4. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Who did? Jesus. He is our prototype. Nothing in him wanted to become sin and be separated from his Father. Nothing in his will wanted that. But he knew it was the will of the Father. Now here he is struggling against sin. Plainly saying Jesus himself had to struggle against it. And it was not easy. And it was a war to the point it put such stress on his little capillaries that they burst, and he actually, blood came out of his sweat glands. Now that's striving against sin. He's trying to give us an image. It's not always easy to deal with the ites, but for the love of God, it's time to deal with the ites. And one more, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 just says this: abstain from all appearance of evil. Not necessarily just evil. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Now, I'm going to step on some of your toes, and I don't care. Sometimes I drive by and we got casinos all over town, right? And, it's not necessarily a sin to go in there, and they have some really good restaurants. They'll have a big special. You know, I'm going to exaggerate a little, but it's like ribeye steak, 99 cents. Gary, come in. It says right on it. Gary, come in. You'll like it, Gary. You know, that's the way I read it, you know. I mean, and it wouldn't necessarily be sin for me to go into the restaurant at any casino and have a big old ribeye or whatever it is that they've got going. But see, I remember this young lady that used to come to our Bible study years ago. And after the Bible study, we'd always have fellowship, you know. And I just overheard her telling somebody. The Lord arranged it where I overheard her. And she said, you know, if I ever saw Gary in a liquor store, I think I'd just give up on Christianity completely. Boy, that registered in me. See, it's not sin for me to go have a meal in the casino. But what if it made my brother to stumble? Yeah. See, what if somebody who has a real gambling problem sees me in there? Say, oh, well, if Gary thinks it's okay. And they just assume that I'm doing everything else in there. So he's bringing us to the place where we abstain from even the appearance of evil. See, it's not just about us. It's about our brothers. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a comment about Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I'm going to say it should be a little less. He's really talking about the new nature. He's not talking about God the Holy Ghost being in a war with your flesh. If God the Holy Ghost ever gets in a war with your puny flesh, that will be the shortest war ever on record, okay? Now, it's talking about that war that goes on between the new man, the real you, and the flesh, because it wants what it wants. So he said, this I say then, walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, you remember I was doing a calling in the lost here one night on that very passage, I believe. And the Holy Ghost said it this way through me. He said, your flesh or your spirit at any time on any day, one of them's on the cross. Isn't that something? You're either walking in the spirit or you're walking in the flesh. You're either yielding to the nature on the inside of you or you're yielding to the flesh. One of them's on the cross. I want my flesh to be on the cross. Amen. Then another time he said to me, no, I think Nathan said this. Okay, we just read it. I'm going to read it again for context. Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say you will know you're walking in the spirit when the lusts of the flesh have stopped. Now, that's what we want it to say. Well, as soon as I don't want it anymore, I'll quit. You're going to be sinning the rest of your life. It does not say that. Now, I will tell you, you can purge a lot of addiction type things out of the flesh. I haven't had a drink since 1980, haven't wanted one since 1980 in 2 months, probably. You know what I mean? I've been quit from cigarettes for many, many, many years now. I really thought, I smoked for so long, I thought it was not possible to exist without that craving. You know, I thought, and the war lasted so long, I thought, well, if this is just the way it is till I die, it's just the way it is. But thank God it went away. The craving, you can retrain, you can purge that chemical addiction out of your body. And I can't even believe I ever did it now. You know, I never get tempted to do that. Be like going to lick an ashtray to do that. You know, dear Lord. So the body I'm learning can be purged even after you've, and it's the same with pornography now. I didn't always look like this. I was a young man once. Okay. Now we had a different form. Ours was in paper, got kids in the room. So, but you can be purged of that. Now it doesn't mean the memories go away. I told you about that deck of cards. That was when I was in the first grade. So what was I, six? About six. I'm 70 now. And if I choose to think on them, to this day, I can pull up, I'm not doing it, but I could. I could pull up card after card after card. They don't ever, see, I choose not to think on those things. You've got to take your thoughts captive. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Take that thought captive. You know what I really, sometimes at night when I'm trying to go to sleep, old things will start trying to play. You know what I do? This is one thing you can do. On purpose, I start running the movie of the Gospels. It'll be Jesus going in with the woman bowed over. And I'll just start letting that play in my mind. Or it'll be where he walks in with the guy with the withered hand. And I'll start meditating on that. And it's like a movie that, and it'll replace the other movie. And I fall asleep thinking about Jesus healing the sick and casting out devils and raising the dead. See? But you got to choose. My body would like for me to go the other direction. Still to this day, it likes the high that comes from the release of chemicals when certain things are added to pornography. I'm trying to get kids in there. Okay? My job is to deny that. Right. Say, shut up. No, I'm not that person anymore. No, I don't care, buddy, that you like that. God don't like that. We're not doing that. But you can purge that addictions out of your body. I've found that out. All right. Now, I think these are all really close together except for one. Go to Revelations chapter 2. I know we hardly ever go to Revelation. Do you know it's not really the book of Revelations? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's got a lot of revelations in it, but all of them together are the revelation, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? I'm telling you, the grace of God, God's plan, He did come to save sinners, He came to forgive us, all of that is true, but He also came to spawn a new species of being that is free from sin and has authority through His name over all of darkness, sickness, every kind of disease. He expects us to grow up into that image of who He really came to rescue. He didn't rescue us just to, like fire insurance, and we just stay the same old sinner, you know, just trying to make heaven now. No, I was raised with that image. That's not the image in here. Let me show you why. This is the revelation of Jesus. This is the Master speaking. If you look it up, all of these are red letters in your Bible. So let's start at Revelation 2:7. And you know he's talking to the seven churches here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How many wants to eat of that tree? Well, that's for overcomers. That's the ones that drive out the ites. Go down to verse 11. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. It sounds to me like he wants us to overcome. Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. Like Alan said this morning, Helena is not going to be Helena in heaven. She's going to have a new name. What is it? Nobody knows yet. You'll know when you get it. Amen. Revelations 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelations 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. See, that doesn't that sound hard? Didn't we read a while ago in Matthew 7? Depart from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. Your name's not going to be found in the book of life. I want my name in there. It's time to drive the time to drive out all the ites. Okay? Look at verse 12. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Now this last one you have to turn some pages, so go over to Revelations 21. And starting in verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. But notice, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He's been having me. How long have I been preaching against radical grace? Years. And I didn't even know what it was when he had me start studying it. I'm telling you, that is one of the most damnable heresies to ever come down the pike. It was already starting in the first century. Paul even remotely refers to it in Romans chapter 6, because they were already saying, well, if you're saying God's grace, shouldn't we just sin that God's grace would come? We'll just sin all the more. And he says, God forbid that anybody would say we're preaching that. That's not the grace of God. We read the grace of God a while ago. God's grace came to empower us to walk free from sin. Righteousness is a free gift, and it's not just accounted righteousness like Abraham had. It is righteousness where God Himself, by His own nature, is. You are a righteousness. And you have the power to walk. All of us have the power to walk that way. What's keeping us back? The flesh. And this goes all the way back now to the vision that Dave told us how many times. You know, he saw that vision one day. And the earth was covered by this dark band. And at first he thought that had to be the devil. Oh, that's got to be the devil, that dark band, you know. But every now and then somebody would pray and fast and seek the Lord, and he'd see their hand like press up through that dark band. And when they did, their hand would begin to glow. Boy, when they come back to earth and laid that hand on people, the miracles and the healings just flowed like crazy. He saw somebody else get their whole head up through there. And their head began to get golden, you know. And boy, that when they came back to earth, they were teaching the very oracles of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, you know. But he says every now and then somebody would get their whole body through that thing. And those are your revivalists of history. And wherever they would touch, fires, revival fires would break out. And that's what we're after, right? So he was saying that, oh God, that flesh, that band of darkness, that's got to be the devil. And the Holy Ghost said, no, that's your flesh. Could I say that's the ites? That's the ites, anything that's remaining. So, you Sunday night people that come on a Sunday night, you're the diehards. You're the Rambos. Y'all remember the statement? Probably none of you watch Rambo enough to know. That say, he said, no, pain doesn't stop a man when he comes to love the pain. Most people don't know that sentence is in there. I may not quote it exactly, but that's pretty close. The Bible says the nature that's in you, because it's the same nature He has. It says it loves righteousness and it hates iniquity. And a prayer I've been praying lately, because I know I said, Lord, I need to hate it more than I have. I want to, if You hate it, I want to hate it. I want to despise it. If I find it in me anywhere, I want to hate it and kill it. Amen? It's time to overcome the flesh.